Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Attention, collectors of vinyl. Have you ever gone into a record store and felt overwhelmed by all the unfamiliar options? Are you frustrated by the constantly increasing prices of classic rock staples? Do you avoid streaming music or long for the days when music was recommended to you by a friend instead of an algorithm? If the answer to any of these questions is yes, then check out I'd Buy That for a Dollar, a podcast about inexpensive, common, and underappreciated records that are waiting to be rediscovered. Each week, hosts Sean, Jeremy, and Peter discuss an album and the artist's history. Previous episodes include selections by the Isley Brothers, the Carpenters, the Doobie Brothers, and Donna Summer, among others. Become a bargain bin pro and impress all your friends with cool music trivia. Listen to I'd Buy That for a Dollar wherever you get your podcasts. Hi, it's Vish. Thanks for listening to Creative Control. If you'd like to support the show financially by making a monthly, flexible donation to keep this podcast going, please visit patreon.com/creativecontrol today. Regina Gently is a captivating musical artist based in Toronto, Ontario. The drag alter ego of pop rocker Gentleman Reg, Gently has stepped out from her recent band dynamic in Lightfires to record under her own name. The result is an infectious and empowering new album called Don't Wait to Love Me, which is out September 18th, 2020. Now, Regina and I had an extensive conversation recently about their creative trajectory from opening hardcore punk shows in Guelph, Ontario as Reg Vermeu to staging one-woman shows in Toronto as Regina Gently. Her role as an artist in helping to establish Three Gut Records, the music of Prince, Madonna, and other 1980s influences on Don't Wait to Love Me, the power of assuming another identity and being really funny on stage, future plans, and much more. A part of the Entertainment One Network with the support of listeners like you who follow and subscribe to this podcast and spread the word about it and make flexible monthly donations at patreon.com/creativecontrol and Massey Hall's concert film series live at masseyhall.com, where you can stream dozens of 30-minute films for free, including performances by past podcast guests like The Hidden Cameras. Plus, in-kind support from Pizza Trocadero, The Bookshelf, and Planet Bean Coffee in Guelph, and Granddad's Donuts in Hamilton. This is the 564th episode of Creative Control, featuring the fearless and funny Regina Gently, with your host, me, Vish Khanna.
But it's just a plan.
Hi, Regina. How's it going?
Hello, Vish. It's going well. How are you?
I'm well. It's nice to speak with you again. It's been too long. First of all, where in the world are you?
I am in Toronto, in Cabbage Town, where I've lived for way too long, many years.
Now, tell the people at home what Cabbage Town means. Not everyone knows why it's called Cabbage Town. Do you know why it's called Cabbage Town? I used to know. I don't remember now.
Oh. Yeah, put me on the spot. I should know, because I've lived here for over a decade. But I believe it has to do with cabbages.
Cabbages. Yeah, sure. It must have something to do with the cabbages. Are you a fan of cabbage? Will you eat cabbage?
Funny you should ask. It's almost like we set that up. I've been making sauerkraut during the pandemic, and and that is just cabbages and salt, and it's delicious.
Yes. That's right. Okay, well, I did not expect us to have a cabbage feature during our chat, but that's the way it works. Well, you mentioned the pandemic and what's keeping you busy. How is life during a pandemic for you?
Well, it's been pretty interesting. I mean, the one thing that's happened is this record that is coming out. And the album's actually been done for quite a while. So something interesting about this, all this downtime and all this space, suddenly it's almost like I needed this to like get my mind together and to get this album happening. So, I mean, you know, there's benefits like that. But then, of course, you know, it's scary and everyone's going through things differently. So, yeah, I'm missing like people, you know, I'm missing, I do a lot of DJing. That's one of my main sources of income, is DJing and clubs and for events and stuff. And that stuff, while it's fun and it's good money and it's good work, it's also highly sociable, right? You're like surrounded by people. And so that's like a huge, aside from the loss of income, it's just like, I miss those like Friday nights with like hundreds of people kind of thing. So and that stuff, you know, even though a lot of Toronto seems to be back to normal, whatever that is, you know, those kind of things certainly are not coming back anytime soon.
Yeah, it must be unsettling for you. But as you say, at least there's a sort of a light, if not at the end of this tunnel, because I don't see an end, but it's a light within the tunnel, let's say. There's some light within the tunnel. Don't Wait to Love Me is the new vibrant, what would you call it? I was going to call it a dance record. It's a dancey record, right?
It's a dance record, yeah. Correct. Yeah.
Right. So as you say, what a weird time to release a dance record in a time of self-isolation. Or is it? Isn't this the bomb we need? Isn't this exactly what some of us want? A little bit of, you know, pulsing, vibrant, dynamic dance music, you know, some empowering dance music during this downtime. I mean, literally, it's downtime on a couple of different levels. We're a little down and there's not a lot to do. I think it's fun to have this blasting through my house. So on some level, is it not serendipitous that you've released a record that people can groove to, if I might use that term? Groove to? What do you think, Regina? I think it's good timing.
Well, that's a great spin on it. That's a great outlook. I think that, you know, I'm trying to remain positive about that. And yeah, I think there's so much crazy stuff going on that I think, you know, we do need an escape and we do need some uplifting art. And so I'm hoping that, yeah, this can be that for people. And then, you know, it's going to be, you know, I'm going to be carrying this like into the new year and stuff. So I look forward to performing it live for people. But in the meantime, I'll be doing lots of stuff on the internet and and you can just have like a dance party at home.
That's what I've been doing with it. That's what we've been doing with it. Some of the subject matter is a little risque for a parent with small children. Yes. So I have to be mindful of that and, you know, skipping songs and talking over saucier elements, you know, like, what a weird weather day it is. All of a sudden I'm yelling and bellowing throughout the house. Anyway, right. No, it's really fun. Let me ask you about a couple of other things, Regina.
Sure.
Let me just say a few names to you, and we can talk about your relationship to those names. Gentleman Reg, Light Fires.
Ooh.
So, Regina, you have some connection, I would say, I would think, to both Gentleman Reg and Light Fires. Can you, for the people listening, can you talk about your relationship with Gentleman Reg and Light Fires?
Sure. Yeah, the boy version of myself, the singer-songwriter, sappy, fey version of myself, for a good 15 years plus, that was Gentleman Reg. And one interesting thing that I did during the pandemic is I actually did a Gentleman Reg online performance. And it was really fun.
That's nice.
But it's
mostly
in my past. Yeah, it's mostly in my past, but my toes.
Let's talk about that. Sorry to interrupt you there. I just want to reminisce a little bit about Gentleman Reg. As you would know, Gentleman Reg is significant to me for my early days in Guelph, from my earliest days in Guelph, living in Guelph. When I moved there in 1996, I was exposed, not in a negative way, to Gentleman Reg. And I remember we would have, I don't know, do you remember me from this period? What was I like? I don't really remember myself, but I do remember I was part of like the hardcore punk community, and we would put on shows. And some of us, tried to make the shows as interesting and eclectic as possible. So if you had the band V Reverse coming in from Chicago, you know, loud rock band, you would say, you know who should open that show? Gentleman Reg. And so you would play these shows. Do you remember that show at UC 103? Do you remember playing with these punk bands?
I do. I remember a couple of those shows. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
UC 103 and in a basement in the ward.
10 Ontario Street.
Yeah.
10 Ontario Street, yeah.
Yeah.
So we made an effort to have you there. And in a sense, I was thinking about that because on some level it was a bit incongruous. There was just sort of like an incongruity there. Like you didn't quite fit with the rest of the sound. But then when I think about it, Gentleman Reg kind of... Would you agree? It kind of never fit. Its own thing, it felt like. And I never could figure it out. I always was a big fan of it, but everyone seemed to be puzzled by Gentleman Reg. Would you agree?
Yes, I would agree. It sort of sat along a bunch of different sort of boundaries and fences and things. It was never really one style, and it went from soft acoustic to more of like a rock band.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I felt that way back then, for sure, those punk shows, and certainly some of the audience did as well. and then later on, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I can say this, the whole reason Regina was created and born was to get away from that, and I guess partly from just having done that for so long and just wanting something else. That's kind of, you know, why I fully did the switch to become a different person.
Yeah.
You know, and of course I created Regina, and she doesn't fit in anywhere either. So there you go.
Well, maybe. I feel like let me posit this, and this might be difficult for you to hear because it doesn't necessarily help you. Is it possible you are a little ahead of your time with each of your ventures? Like, there is part of me that when something doesn't fit in a time, but then it's appreciated later, which, I mean, your record's called Don't Wait to Love Me, which I think kind of speaks to that temporality situation you are often in, whether you are Gentleman Reg or Light Fires or now Regina. I feel like you're a little ahead of the zeitgeist in terms of what people are doing and listening to, and at the same time, I don't know that you're reaping the rewards. It's not always great to be first at something, is it? Would you? I don't know. Again, it might be difficult for you to speak about this objectively, but you remember, like in indie rock, it's like, I was into that band first, in all kind of music right. genres. Like, I like that first, and you're just a hanger-on. But now I feel like if you're a publication or a podcast or what have you, or an artist, and you do something that's a little ahead of the curve, and then eventually it's that kind of thing is embraced by everyone, you don't always get the credit. And even if you do get the credit, you don't really get the rewards. Does that make any sense? Like, I feel like that's where you're at.
It does make sense. Yeah. I mean, I've never thought of it like that, but it's true. I think there is a little bit of coming back around to, you know, I think people are craving the more acoustic side of my old stuff. And I got to experience that, you know, a couple months ago when I did the online mm-hmm. thing and saw that. And then, yeah, the dance thing. I mean, it's funny because it's true. Drag specifically is so mainstream now and has been for a few years, more than it's ever been in any yeah. time. And because of RuPaul's Drag Race and, you know, but and people are just sort of catching on to me now. But I mean, this is actually the 10th year that that I've been performing in some form as Regina, either under the name Lightfires or now as Regina, but this female sort of alter ego. It's like, this is the 10th yeah. year. So it is interesting that suddenly, you know, the CBC's playing me. And it's like, you know, I appreciate it, but I would have really appreciated it 7 years ago.
So what does that say about the... I mean, I don't even know if you and I can comment on this per se, but that does say something. It doesn't, I guess what I'm getting at, maybe heartbreakingly, is it doesn't always pay to innovate right away. Maybe mm-hmm. it takes a while for everyone to catch on when you're a pioneer, an innovator. And, you know, you and I have been fans of artists like that as well, where finally, you know, someone gets closer to what they deserve or what we always thought they deserved in terms of credit and attention. And so mm-hmm. yeah, I mean, I remember Regina being on my Long Night talk show you know, about that around 10 years yeah. ago, and it was always fun, and you were the surprise guest on one episode. Mm-hmm. I had you just popped in and out throughout the episode and disturbed things. It was really fun. So I like you, and I like Regina. So anyway, I just wanted to get to that. Lightfires was an attempt to separate yourself from Gentleman Reg, wholesale name change, but mm-hmm. now you're Regina. So you're kind of echoing mm-hmm. Reg and yourself, your one true self, you know, how you were, whatever. I don't know what I'm getting at there. But so what is going on there? Now you're kind of separate from Lightfires, even though there's the most continuity between Lightfires and Regina, yes?
I know, it's true. Trust me, my branding is a disaster. That's the other problem. One thing you can't say is have good branding.
What was wrong with Lightfires as a name? Lightfires was good.
Lightfires, I like that name. I know, I was really sad to give that up. So that was Jamie Bunton from the band Obijou. He's a great drummer. He's a great producer. And we had that band. We started it almost around the same time that I started performing in drag as Regina. And then very quickly, we merged the two. So then it was like Lightfires was Regina's band. So, we made a record. I toured that. I can't even tell you. Like, I toured Europe with that record. I toured all over Canada. But then it was around the time we finished the record, Jamie decided he didn't want to perform live anymore. So with Obijou or anything, he just stopped performing live. And he's an engineer yeah. and producer now. So then it was like Lightfires, but then really all the live shows that anyone saw was just me. So then it became this thing of like, well, Lightfires is my band, but it's just me. Yeah. And then working on the new record, people just always seem confused because they were like, well, who's in Lightfires and why is it plural? And, it's like Regina's band, but the band is just me, you know, whereas like, but you know, Beth Ditto is from The Gossip, but The Gossip is three people. So it's like a little bit more, you know, or like Annie Lennox from the Eurythmics, but that's with, you know, Dave Stewart, and there's like there's always like other people, but no one ever saw anyone else with me as Lightfires. So it was just, I don't know, people just weren't getting it. So that was the reason. I just thought, well, since it's just me, even though I make the music with other people, and I made this new music with other people, I just thought I would just simplify things, and hopefully I did. But of course, as soon as I changed the name, everyone is asking me what happened to Lightfires.
Well, it is a bit. So yeah. I'll go back to what you were saying about how your branding isn't very good. It's very confusing, but at the same time, it's good. This puts Regina front and center. So we've alluded to what may have inspired you to make "Don't Wait to Love Me," but in terms of lyrical themes. I mentioned that, you know, I've had to maybe mute it a couple times when there have been children around for language and content. Is there an overarching lyrical theme here that you would identify for people listening to Don't Wait to Love Me?
Well, the title comes from, like, I have a one-woman show that I was performing in 2015. That was called Do I Have to Do Everything My Fucking Self? I don't know if I can swear on this.
You can swear. You can. What do you mean? So this? One of the in this timeline in life, you can swear. In our relationship,
on this show,
I don't know if I can swear in this relationship. You can. It's fine. It's fine. You can swear. Yeah.
Okay. Good. Yeah. Okay. Good. So that show, So one of the main themes, that was like a comedy storytelling music show, and one of the themes about that was this sort of like, you know, don't wait to love me. Like, please, like, adopt me now, don't you know, make me have to like move to Berlin like everyone else just to like have a art career. And then that was 2015, but that sort of idea, well, it partly popped back up because I'm working on that show again. I'm going to remount that show, so that idea has been floating around again in my head. And it just seemed like a really apt title to put all these songs under. There isn't one theme specifically amongst the songs, but it's funny you say you had to mute some of them, because I really tried to make most of them like universal lyrically and just very,
I was actually kidding. I haven't muted. I've just let them
playable.
No, I have a 5-year-old and a 9-year-old. And so they were more, they were more scared of the Mets record playing the other day than they're not scared, but you know what I mean. They're more like disturbed. No, I'm totally kidding. I haven't muted anything. I've totally, just like I was exposed to Gentleman Reg, I've exposed them to Regina, and so they. Okay. I think it's all very healthy and good. I was kind of just making a joke.
Yeah. No, it's okay. It's really just the song "Good People," but you know that's like a political sort of message, anyways.
Well, there's a song about having sex all the time, isn't there?
Oh, yes, that's true.
So now I got to explain that to my kids.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? It's my own fault. This is not meant to be an intervention against myself, like some kind of parenting intervention. It's all my fault. It's fine. No, it's a playful and fun and life-affirming record. And for some of us, having sex all the time is part of that. That's just the way it is, right? For some of us of a certain age. That's what it is. So sure. I'm not condemning you. This is not a criticism. You know, I'm just saying that's, you know, you say, don't wait to love me, which, you're alluding to the fact, like, don't wait till I have to move to Berlin or New York or Los Angeles or some big city, American city. Like, basically, don't wait till the Americans or the British appreciate me. You can appreciate me now. That's a Canadian, I've said this a few times on this show, a very Canadian thing to wait. Again, I mentioned earlier, like in some circles, it's really positive to feel like you were first in discovering something or behind something. But Canadians have a tendency to like, let's be third or fourth to say that we were into something. Do you have any more perspective on, I know it's right in the title and you just alluded to it, but do you have any more? Because you left Guelph for Toronto.
It's true.
I almost said infamously, but it's not exactly true. Like in the those of us who follow the Three Gut Records story, which was named after Jim Guthrie, for a lot of us, Royal City, the band Royal City, which featured Jim and my recent guest Aaron Riches, is thought of as being the kind of pioneers I'm talking about, because they put out a record. It got a lot of attention for Three Gut Records, this independent label, which was a sort of Guelph base, but everyone moved to Toronto. And I felt like Royal City got a lot of the credit because I accompanied them. We went on a big tour and it felt like a thing was happening. Mm-hmm. But then we are always quick to correct the record and say, well, actually it was Reg. Reg was the one who made these leaps and made these bold choices. You moved to Toronto, I think, before Jim did, right? Isn't that right?
I don't remember the timeline. It was very close. Yeah, it was after Aaron and Tyler, for sure.
Right.
Yeah.
Tyler Clark Burke.
Yeah.
And Aaron Riches. So they moved to Toronto from Guelph. But I remember thinking, like, didn't your record come out, like, before the Royal City record, your first Red record? Anyway, I don't want to get into a timeline. I'm not getting into I think I'm correct here. And we have been quick to say that. Whether you believe it or not, Reg, you were someone who led the way. And so I guess what I was trying to get at with this long-winded spiel is, Don't Wait to Love Me, that kind of speaks to your move from Guelph to Toronto as well, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it sort of speaks
at least your
to
motivation.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like you move around and you try things. And you take risks, and I feel like you were doing that back then. Like, mm-hmm. Some people would be like, I don't want to play that show with these hardcore bands. Mm-hmm. I make soft kind of acoustic pop music. Why would you? But you were right in there. Like, no, right. I think of that as gutsy. Like, I think I think you have a boldness to you to try things and get in front of people. And I think that what I'm saying here in a convoluted way is I think Regina is the culmination of several examples of you taking risks and being bold and putting yourself and your music and your work in front of people. I don't want to say whether they like it or not, because that comes across a bit weird, but you're like, you have a strength there. Like, it doesn't really matter to me on the one hand, if you hate this, but some of you might love it, and so I'm going to try, and that's the best I can do. Am I capturing some of your sentiment or your motivations a little?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I just hope that I'm less annoying now than I was 20 years ago. It's true. I was. I wanted to be on every bill. I wanted to be on every show.
Oh, you see it as a negative almost. You see it as being pushy.
I'm sure some people felt that way, but yeah. But, you know, it's just the way it was. And in some ways, I need to get a little of that fire back because I sort of repressed it for a long time. But
self-conscious about being a little pushy. I can see that. I remember talking to you in 96, 97, a little bit about Prince. You're a Prince fan?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Would you say Prince has sort of, because I was listening to the new record and thought, this is very Princey. By the way, I also, for some reason, I've randomly found an on-demand version of the 1989 film Batman. So there's lots of Prince. I think some very fine Prince music is in that. It's a little silly, right? Because the movie, by the way, just god awful. It was a big deal to me when I was a kid, and I love all things Batman, but I'm like, oh my god, this is bad. But the Prince songs are good, and that's like, he made a lot of like upbeat dancey kind of sample oriented music for that. And I was listening then to Regina, and I'm like, man, the Prince stuff here seems very upfront. Is Prince still a massive influence on Regina?
Yeah, that's cool that you picked that out. We definitely use the 80s and 90s as like as benchmarks for the production. We used a lot of 808 drum machines, and like the Lin drum machine, actually Prince used a lot on his early records, and we used that on some stuff. And that was all very conscious. For sure, the guys I worked with on the music, it's all analog, so it's all like actual synthesizers and actual drum machines that we're using. So, it really helps to get that sort of legit vintage sound. And then a lot of the vocal stuff, like I brought a lot of amazing female friends in to sing, and there's a track called No Secret that's out, and that one particularly vocally, like it's very Prince to me. There's just so many layers and harmonies, so I love that you picked up on that. Yeah, we used a lot of benchmarks like Pointer Sisters.
Ah, yeah.
And Eurythmics and Prince, and yeah, all kinds of stuff from that era.
So yeah, very much for some reason anyway, like a 70s, 80s vibe. Do you have any perspective on why those musical eras spoke to you and Regina for this sound? Like what is it about that time? Is it just, you mentioned a few artists, is it just simply that that's the kind of music they were making, or is there something about, we're in a weird zone because no one's really happy with the time. Like there's a lot of like weird, the nostalgia kind of manifests itself in different ways. And for a long time, it felt like we were never escaping 90s nostalgia. And I feel like we're on the other side of that because now there's, time has kind of stopped. So we're not kind of, there was also a big 80s resurgence. Like I'm looking at some of your collaborators here, like Diamond Rings, John O'Regan, and Kelly McMichael, who in her own work, I think, has drawn from that same kind of 80s in particular, that 80s tone of sort of upbeat, a little bit of gloss, but also gritty stuff. Like, anyway, yeah, do you have any perspective on that? What do you think? Why the 70s and 80s? Why is that a good compliment for Regina?
Well, the 80s, I mean, is when I... you know, is when I grew up. So there's just the nostalgia factor. I don't really, you know, the 2000s and beyond for like dance and pop are just not, you know, they were just never as interesting to me. And then a lot of the 90s, I was much more into sort of indie rock stuff. The 80s just, it really was about like pop music and I have such a connection to sort of like 84, like Madonna from New York City, like Blondie, that sort of gritty New York thing, like Basquiat and even like Sonic Youth and Beastie Boys and stuff, like just that era. Like I have, you know, books from that era, and I've watched documentaries from that era, and I kind of always gravitate back to that, and just doing photo shoots for Regina in general, I'm always, you know, I'm always giving people like Debbie Harry photos or something. So it's interesting. I don't know. It's just a personal aesthetic that I like. It's something I don't necessarily see lots of other people doing, especially in drag. It feels a bit more untapped and unique. It's a fun time mixed with, you know, I mean, some of those records are still like my favorite records and are classic, right? Like some of those early Madonna records at the time, maybe got written off, but now we know them as classic dance records and that production and all of that. Like that's what people want to, well, some people want to make and recreate. So
I did as well as Prince, I did hear a lot of Madonna, frankly, in on the record. And I do think it's fascinating that you mentioned that some of Madonna's work was written off, because I think that has a lot to do with how strong her personality was. People didn't want to like.
Right.
Sometimes with people like Prince or Madonna, the persona is so strong and generates such a visceral love hate thing that you don't even want to process the work. I think we've gone through this most recently with Kanye West, where he was just such an asshole, but for a good run there, he made arguably some of the greatest music we've ever heard. Like, it was really weird. And then it's fascinating. Right. So I bring this up because you have really hedged your bets on creating a persona here with Regina. You know, like, people were not necessarily, I think we've already established this, like, on some level, they weren't paying as much attention to your music in all your iterations as maybe they should have been. And for some reason, your way of dealing with that was to be like, you know what? I am going to make a persona. I'm going to create something that you can't ignore. Like, that to me is part of the essence of Regina. Like, it's very difficult if you go to see, as I have seen Lightfires and have seen Regina in performance, you can't be indifferent about it. You can't. You either, like, I'm right. all in, or this isn't for me. And that's striking to me. Like, you mentioned Madonna, Prince, iconoclast. Regina is something of an iconoclast. I mean, or at least that seems to be what the motivation is. What do you make of that?
Right. Yeah, I get that. I mean, I would name Peaches in there as, like, a huge influence and sort of directly to what you said, like, you kind of either love it or you hate it. And even when I was, you know, playing acoustic guitar back in the day, I was always like, man, I'd love to do something like what Peaches is doing.
Or, well, imagine creating a persona or a name where it instantly, you know, you have an idea of the sound, like, of that. Like, that's weird. Like, to be like, I'm Bruce Springsteen. Well, like, for some people, even though, again, a very dynamic artist who has changed, but for whatever reason, people are very trapped in his 80s and think, oh, well, that's what that means. When I hear Bruce Springsteen, I think of Born in the USA or Tunnel of Love. When I think of Peaches, you think of a particular sound. If you can't name a song, you think of a particular sound. But yeah, like, it's interesting. Mm-hmm. Some people are able to create these names for themselves where you're just like, I know what I think that is. and on some, I think Regina could, if people pay attention, could be in that same vein.
Right. Yeah, it's, you know, that's out of my control, unfortunately. But it's, you know, yeah, some people are just genius at branding, and that's kind of its own skill. And I think that because of the era that we grew up in, like, it was never cool or talked about to think about that. Like, you know, you never wanted to talk about branding or stage outfits or, you know, licensing deals. Like, that whole idea of selling out was so big, like, 20 years ago. Whereas now, I mean, everyone wants to, like... It's like, all we want to do is sell out because there's no other way to make money.
Well,
or at least that's how I feel, speaking for myself. But yeah, so, you know, I remember talking to some friends even just in the last 5 years about branding, and it was like, can we talk about this? You know, it was like, I had to, like, whisper it and be like, can we talk about, you know, names and looks and personas and. And then, to my surprise, every single person was like, oh my God, yes, you have to think about this stuff. Like, it's just the world. So
I'm hoping you can elaborate upon something you were saying earlier about the feeling you have when you become Regina. Can you, I'm wondering if you can actually trace the trajectory of that feeling, that emotion, because I assume this was a big decision on your part to take on a drag persona, and I wonder about the evolution of your command of it, because I can only imagine it started out with some nerves, and then the last few times I've seen Regina, force of nature, like, no one can touch her, no one can touch her, no one. There was a Hillside Festival set you played, and it was a Friday night, and I don't think people really knew what to expect, because Regina was still, I think, on the ascent in terms of recognition. But I remember people just being floored and having fun.
Right.
And so, sorry, can you talk about that? Can you talk about, you know, what it was like when you first appeared as Regina and how you're feeling nowadays?
Yep. It was, so it started via some friends of mine had this... dance party, drag party, queer party called Hot Nuts, and it was at this bar called The Beaver, which sadly just closed. And yeah, I used to go to that party. It was monthly, once a month, and it was just this amazing drag party. But, you know, I was full on like singer-songwriter at that time. So I would just go for fun. And then, you know, one time they were like, we're going to book you at this party and you're going to have to do drag. And, you know, I was like, oh, whatever. Like, why, you know, why would I do drag? I'm like a songwriter. And, you know, I just never saw the connection. And then they just booked me. They were like, okay, like, you know, whatever. So this date, like, you're going to perform. And I just agreed. And then, you know, I came up with a look. I came up with an act. But it wasn't until the day of the show that I got my friend who's a makeup artist to do my face and give me a look. And it really wasn't until that day and then showing up at the Beaver and then doing the number and then everyone freaking out that it sort of just like something snapped in me. And I just thought like, okay, there's something just happened. Like it happened in me. It happened with the people watching me. Cause it was all people who had seen me like, over the years. Well, not all of them, but there was a lot of people in the room that had been seeing me like as a songwriter. And, yeah, it just clicked. And I thought, you know what? I have to keep doing this. Like it's one of those moments that's like a sign. And, and then from there, it just, you know, and I had already started making dance music with Jamie. So then that was sort of like, oh, so Regina is fronting this dance music project. And then that's how it really evolved into, yeah, all the stuff that you saw like at Hillside.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's it really.
So Don't Wait to Love Me ends with a piece called Do I Have to Do Everything My Fucking Self? Is that correct? I don't have it in front of me. I'm sorry. Am I right?
Yes.
And so
it's a little a cappella number.
It's a cappella. To me, it's like a rap / monologue, if you will. Like it's a spiel. Yeah. You say a cappella, but it seems, like I say, it has a rap tone. Tell me about the tone of Regina, the attitude, because I think when you create a persona of any kind, whether it was Gentleman Reg, if someone is a comedian, let's say, there is an aspect of it that is a heightened performative thing, but I also think there's always some truth in it. Like this is maybe an honest look at something inside of them that they otherwise don't show the world. How much of Regina right. feels like your true self, if you will? Can you speak to that?
Yeah, it is like a heightened version of myself. For some reason, it opens up a part of my mind that I just never had access to before. And I don't really know. I've never been able to fully explain it. But it is interesting because people like in my day-to-day life ask me about that all the time. So it's like it's something that people have noticed. And
well, you like we were discussing, you kind of have come across as shy, quiet.
Yeah, exactly.
Wallflower Reg back in the Guelph days. and
yeah.
Whereas Regina is not almost. Sorry if this is disparaging. Regina feels confrontational.
Yeah.
Like, to like, there's something on Regina is going to tell you you're ugly or, you know, or whatever. Like, Regina is going to not hold back. Mm-hmm. What's the connection between shy Reg and, if you will, confrontational Regina? That's what I'm kind of getting at. It feels like a pent up alter ego on some level.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. And the floodgates opened and it all just came out. Yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, I think we all sort of have certain filters, that come before, you know, we say things or, you know, sometimes maybe we act differently around family than we do around friends, than we do around partners, than we do at work. You know, and then we all know people that don't do that, right? Mm-hmm. That are just crazy or all the time or, you know, and then some people are just crazy on the weekends and then... some people are just crazy at Halloween or you know what
yeah,
I mean
yeah right
so that that aspect, yeah, so Regina is like, gives me the liberty to do that. But then, you know, it's all through feedback from other people that it, that she keeps evolving, because even my one woman show that I did years ago, I mean, that's, that came from people telling me like how funny Regina is. Like they would always, like after I would do a full show of like original music, you know, people were like, wow, Regina's so funny. Like you should write some of those jokes down. And then that's literally why I wrote the one woman show that I toured, was that. And it was, I just started writing down my improvised banter. I sort of kept track of it in my head and wrote it down and created a show. And yeah. And that's from outside people, you know, telling me what they see. So it is hard to explain because I don't really know. Like sometimes I wish I could just be that way all the time. I mean, what, there is an element in drag, you know, the history of drag queens where, you know, they're mouthy and the makeup gives you liberties, right? In the same way that like that clowning, you know, if you have like a red nose on, like you have these liberties to do stuff that you don't, you know, when you're not in the clown makeup. Like there is that kind of a connection with it.
Yeah. So, it's definitely a theatrical component. It's like taking on a, it's certainly, I assume, like taking on a role.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So mm-hmm. you sort of become someone else. I mean, and it seems to me that Regina and Reg are related, and I'm just trying to figure, it's not really my place to try to figure this out, but I having known both for as long as I have, I'm just trying to get a sense of that.
Yeah, it's, you know, there's lots of levels of this with performers, and it's, you know, it, Regina's not like a Hedwig in the Angry Inch or a Dame Edna where, like, you know, it's a character that they play in a moment. It's something else, but yeah.
I feel that. Do you feel a particular responsibility as Regina? Like we've kind of talked about how it is it opens up some aspect of your mind, but in terms of a responsibility to your community, if you will. I mean, you were talking about how, you know, 10 years ago you started doing this and drag wasn't quite as in vogue as it is now. There's lots of discussions now about LGBTQ rights. And like, I feel like we are in a good place for at least this. There's also obviously a lot of bad aspects to this elevation in terms of people being horrible. But the, on the other side of things, it's a good time because we are starting to be more accepting. And, you know, this phrase normalizing, I find a bit strange, but we are getting to a point where, yeah, for lack of a better term, like we are starting to accept one another more than we hopefully ever have. And that's, but like I say, there's also a wave of resistance to that. Anyway, sorry, in terms of Regina, do you feel like a social responsibility occupying this role as Regina gently and taking your show on the road and taking your music out into the, taking your music to the people?
I mean, I don't know that I feel like there's a responsibility because I don't have the biggest platform. I kind of feel like I'm in my own little lane, just, you know, creating my art. But I do think of it as my, like, as a form of activism. In that sense, I, you know, I do think it's still a political act for, like, men to, you know, get dressed up as women and be parading around. And, you know, a lot of queer history and stuff comes from, like, trans and the drag community. So, yeah, I think of it, you know, as more like a political thing and my art. But I mean, responsibility, like, I don't know.
No, I don't mean to put this on you. I mean, it's a heavy thing on some level, but like you say, it is inherently political on some level.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's kind of what I was getting at in terms of talking, just like, yeah, we have more dialogue about transgender rights and transgender communities. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of humanization going on in general right now. You know, like we are people. All of us are people. And mm-hmm. we have feelings and blood and bones, and that needs to be respected. So I just, yeah, again, I don't mean to frame this in a heavy way, but I feel like that's kind of in there somehow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay. So what do you do now, Regina, in this climate? You alluded to the fact like you can't play too many live things, and you mentioned some internet stuff. How do you bring Don't Wait to Love Me to the masses, so to speak, at this point in this climate?
Right. Yeah, it's a really interesting time to be releasing an album, and we're figuring it out every day. But you know, in some ways we're lucky that the internet is where it is. You know, if this had happened even 10 years ago, it would have been a lot different. It just in the sense that there are opportunities to reach people still, with social media and stuff. So I have, you know, starting right in March, I was performing online, on Instagram Live and, on Zoom, and I was doing DJ sets online. So I did that for a bit, and then July, August, it kind of took a break and started, just had to focus on putting the album out. But yeah, I'm exploring, Twitch and different streaming platforms, and I'm going to be recording some live performances that I can post online, and trying to create more content, digital content.
Okay.
And just hope that, you know, when I can actually perform live, people are interested. That's kind of the idea.
I'm sure they will be if they pay attention to stuff that is cool. I'll say that. So Regina, if people want to learn more about you and this record, Don't Wait to Love Me, on the computers and their phones, where would you send them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Regina Gently at Instagram and Twitter and all the places, on Twitch. I know a lot of people don't know that yet. I haven't started streaming there yet, but I'm going to this week. So all of the places that you ever want me, I'll be there.
Okay, that's...
You know, YouTube, Spotify, Apple Music, Bandcamp, you know, I could go on.
Do you have like a website? There was a lot of corporate plugging there, and I guess I asked for that, but do you have like your own little realm that you control?
At the moment, I don't. I have a Drag Queen DJ website, which is sort of my DJ company.
Oh.
If you want a drag queen to DJ your, you know, office retirement party, for example, you go there.
That's a very specific example, I must say. But yeah, okay. Yeah.
Well, I like to, you know, let people know I'm available for whatever needs.
Okay, Drag Queen DJ. Got it. Okay, cool. So again, the record is called...
.ca.
.ca. DragQueenDJ.ca. Now, the record is called Don't Wait to Love Me. If we can go out on a song, Regina, what would you... first of all, would you permit that? And secondly, what song would you choose and why?
Ooh, great question. I didn't think about this. What song should I pick? I would say maybe You Can Be the Dance Floor. That's a fun one. It's a party track. It's a more of a spoken word delivery. It is very old school. Think back to like JJ Fad and the 80s, early 90s beats. I had a lot of fun making that track. And everyone should hear it.
Okay. I'm happy to make that happen right now. This is You Can Be the Dance Floor by Regina Gently from the great new record Don't Wait to Love Me. Regina, thank you so much for this time and for being you, and I wish you the best of luck in the future.
Thanks for having me, Vish. It's nice to talk to you.
Hold back, heart attack. Give me all the things I lack. Clarity, dance free. You're free to be you and me. Marlo Thomas, make a promise. 70s are long gone. There's no hope, but
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Oh, very special thanks to my old pal Reg, a.k.a. Regina Gently, for appearing on this, the 564th episode of Creative Control, which is part of the Entertainment One podcast network and is available on all Apple and Google platforms and other things as well. If you can't find an episode that you've heard about and are looking for, or if you wish to learn more about me and sign up for my regularly scheduled newsletter, please visit my website, vishkana.com. You can follow Creative Control on Twitter at Vish Creative or follow me directly at Vish Khanna. Also, please consider visiting patreon.com/creativecontrol to make a flexible monthly donation to keep this podcast going. Thanks to all the new patrons. It means a lot. It really does help. And again, $6 or more a month gets you access to some exclusive audio content. So for more information about how to support the show, please visit patreon.com/creativecontrol. Thanks again to liveatmasseyhall.com, where you can watch beautifully captured concerts by great Canadian artists like Peaches, whom Reg mentioned there at one point, or Regina mentioned, sorry. Pizza Trocadero, The Bookshelf, and Planet Bean Coffee and Granddad's Donuts all offer their in-kind support for this show, so I must thank them as well. Thanks to my friend Jim Guthrie. He lends me some music for the show. He was invoked earlier when we talked about Three Gut Records, which is named after him, Guthrie, Three Gut. You've got it. Anyway, Jim's great. Go to jimguthrie.org to learn more about him. And finally, thank you. Thank you for listening to this episode with Regina, and I hope you enjoyed it. And we'll tell your friends about how much you enjoyed it and that they should try to enjoy it too. And maybe subscribe to the show and follow along on this podcasting adventure that I'm bringing you all along for the ride. I don't know where I lost my train of thought. I gotta go. I will talk to you very soon. Bye for now.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.